Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, August 8th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 20, the third paragraph, How Many Times Have People Said to Us, ending, But There He Is, All Lit Up Again, reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Denise G., Stephanie L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Leslie M. The reference number for Sunday, August 7th, is 19,266. That's 19266. And for this morning, Monday, August 8th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,268. That's 19268. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N. And the announcements person will be announced later. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. visiting Cape Cod, Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, everybody. Let's have a great meeting, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. Grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as a whole, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committee directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, an anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, the third paragraph, how many times people have said to us, ending, but there he is, all lit up again, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. And I'll now ask Denise G. to please read and share with us. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Dawn. My name is Denise G. from Northern California. How many times people have said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine? Lay off the hard stuff. His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a pretty girl, sweet girl. I should think he'd stop for her sake. The doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. Well, good morning, everyone. And a little nervous. It's my first time sharing on A Vision for You, and I've been listening for many years. So welcome to the newcomer. And what stood out for me in this paragraph is his willpower must be weak. I'm the middle of 5 children and always the fattest one out of all my family. Tried for many years going up and down with diets. And after gaining it back again, and I thought, oh, my God, I have no willpower. I'm so dumb, stupid, such a failure. And after years listening to Vision and struggling with the food, I finally heard that it was an illness. And I don't think like normal people So I finally accepted that and started working with staff and working with the sponsor and did what was outlined in this book that was, I believe, divinely written. And, of course, putting down the food. And today, I know that it has nothing to do with my willpower. And everything to do with my spiritual growth, with my higher power, and living in steps 10, 11, and 12. I owe everything to this program and everybody on this line. And I keep it simple today. And I just love what all the people have to say on this line. And I think that's it. Thank you for allowing me to do service. My time is up. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise G., for that. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of other people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to follow Denise and share on this paragraph this morning?
Bruce
D. Elaine G.
Kim B.
Elaine G.
Okay.
What page are we on?
Okay, Elaine, we are on page 20, the third paragraph, how many times people have said to us.
Veronica B.
Oh,
okay,
I see.
Veronica.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have Bruce E., Kim B., Elaine B., Veronica, and I didn't get your initial, Veronica. And is there someone I missed?
Dina B.
Dina B. Dina B. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Bruce E., Kim B., Elaine B., Veronica, Elaine G., and Dina B. Go ahead, Bruce. Please share with us.
Okay, Bruce E. in Recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. Thank you, moderator and everybody on the line. Yeah, I think I can comment on a few of those in there. His willpower must be weak. I think I've always had a lot of willpower. You know, I've been pretty strong in willpower into things. But I couldn't ever muster up sufficient willpower to overcome this food addiction. I tried it again and again and again. So the best I can figure at this point is I've got a lot of willpower. Maybe it works in other areas. Maybe it doesn't work in this area. Or I just, this takes, this addiction, to overcome this addiction, takes more than just willpower. You know, I just don't have enough to do it in this way. I think it takes God power. I think it took a partnership of me, God, and my sponsor to do it, to get recovered. And I think that's what it was. So the willpower, I don't think about it too much anymore, you know, because I know I just don't have it. You know, I just don't have it. And that's okay. That's all right. This fellow can't handle his liquor. Why can't you try beer and wine? Well, you know, I've tried that too. You know, just drink 3 glasses of water before a meal and 3 glasses after and, you know, binge in between. So that doesn't work either. Just trying one thing or all meat or all grapefruit, just eat grapefruits. Felt like I probably looked like a grapefruit. I turned into one, you know. And so why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? You know, I mean, it, you know, why can't I just go out and eat like a gentleman? Why can't I go out and binge like a gentleman and then not do it anymore? So I've been to a lot of men's retreats at church. The one church we used to go to, it had men's retreat every year. I went for about 10 or 15 years. And they always have them at these places where they have buffets. And man, I would see these guys, the overweight ones and the ones that weren't so overweight, really, really knock it down. And I would too. But the difference I saw in them and me is I couldn't stop. I wanted to keep on going that evening. They would stop. And they wouldn't gain weight, probably because they'd go home and then they wouldn't eat so much at home, you know, when they got home. And they'd, you know, make up for overeating there. They were just hard eaters, that's all. And I was the compulsive, addictive overeater. I think I was the only one in the whole group that was even out of the guys that were real heavy, I was the only food addict out of all of them.
Kind.
And, I just couldn't, thank you. Once I started, I just couldn't stop, you know, even when I got home. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. And now Kim B., please share with us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Kim B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. And thank you all for your service today. I just, reading this paragraph, I never really could relate to that. I think what came to mind to me with this paragraph is just that I felt like my obesity was a very silent prejudice. I don't think I could probably count on my hand the number of times somebody commented about my weight. Of course, at the doctor's office, they would, you know, say I was overweight or obese, but didn't really say much else, you know. And I think these comments were all in my head. I didn't need anybody to tell me that I was weak-willed or, you know, whatever, that I should stop because my husband is so sweet or whatever. But it was all in my head. I thought I was a horrible, horrible person because I couldn't stop. And I was more of a closet eater. You know, I didn't eat around people. I wouldn't go to buffets or whatever or parties and eat a whole lot. I'd, you know, thought I ate what I should, what other people were eating, and then I would go home and eat more to calm my anxieties and fears. And even my mom said, she goes, I never saw you overeat. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I always did it in secret. You know, I'd hide in the basement or in my room. And so, so I didn't need anybody. I think just people looking at you or ignoring me because I was overweight. I think that was the prejudice that I got. Because I really feel like these statements are just like kind of a jab, right? Like an insult. And I don't really feel like I got that. But when I came to OA my first day and we read step one in the OA 12 and 12, I just cried because I realized this was a disease, that it's not my fault, and because I always thought it was. So I'm really grateful I made it to that first meeting at the encouragement of a counselor over 13 years ago, and I made it into the rooms of OA, and it has saved my life. I have been abstinent and recovered now for many, many years, and I am just so grateful to this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim B. And now, Elaine G., if you could go ahead and share with us. But Elaine, just keep in mind to share every 3 days.
Yeah, hi, everybody. This is Elaine, and I'm glad to be here. I'm post yeah, so- Rita, and still recovering. But anyway, about that paragraph, I feel like this disease is something else. I mean, just when I think, I'm not going to compulsively overeat, fine. But without praying to God, like in the paragraph, I am all lit up, going to the refrigerator, eating compulsively, you know. So it's like I can never not pray to God. Not pray to God. I wish my sister would do this. But anyway, and I've been upset about my sister, and I've been compulsively overeating. But last night, thank God, it was just one thing, fruit. But anyway, what else can I say? This program, as long as you work this program, you follow the steps in the big book, do a lot of praying, you stay abstinent. and that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. And again, just a reminder to everyone, we share every third day. So if you shared in the last couple days, to just hold off and share every third day. Thank you so much. Veronica, please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. And my last initial is B, like boy. This program for me represents all the ways I try to control my eating, and for me, throwing up, because I'm a bulimic. And I started eating and throwing up when I was 15 years old. After a doctor gave me amphetamine pills, and I was able to lose 40 pounds on these pills. And when I went back to the doctor, he wouldn't give me any more pills. So I was devastated. I was like, how was I going to maintain this weight loss? Because I had been overweight my whole life. My only solution was the food. And so it was that time that I discovered eating and throwing up. And I had found my solution. And I lived like that for 15 years until I came into these rooms. And I got a sponsor and I worked these steps. And I got a relationship with the God of my understanding that today I rely on and that I trust. And that I ask for strength and I ask for courage when times are hard. And I'm just so grateful for this program. And it says willpower must be weak. I have no willpower when it comes to my alcoholic ingredients, my alcoholic foods. If I could just have one piece of cake, I would not be in these rooms. And, you know, I've been recovered for a couple of years now, and I sometimes meet people are like, oh, why can't you just have one slice, just a half a slice of cake? You know, because they want me to eat with them or they want to share in the festivities. And they're just so surprised that I don't eat cake. And today I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to explain myself. I am comfortable in my own skin, and I get to live on a spiritual basis, you know, where I try to be as kind as possible and do a lot of 10 steps throughout the day, and because I get disturbed and I cannot afford to live with fear and resentment. So these steps have transformed my life. This program has transformed my life, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Veronica. And now we'll have Deanna B. please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deanna B., and I'm a compulsive eater. And I just wanted to thank Team Monday for the meeting today. All these questions in this paragraph, I've heard these questions and thoughtings all of my life, along with the dreaded, you have such a pretty face. And this made me feel like you've ruined the package, all of you, with your weight. You are of no value now. Too bad that you made yourself useless. And I've lived with these beliefs and feelings all of my life. Today, I see myself through the eyes of God. We all have equal value as precious and loved, as a precious and loved child of God. No one has more value and no one has less. Being at a normal weight now because of surrendering to program and by the grace of God, I have compassion for those who suffer from our disease, and can offer a way out for those who want it and who are willing to surrender also. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deanna B., and from New Hampshire. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And so who would like to share with us this morning?
Cheryl.
I think I heard a Sharon.
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl.
And Nancy.
And Cheryl and Nancy. And please give me your initial as well, if you could.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. And Deborah G. And
Cleaster J.
Who is that?
Cleaster J.
Clee Esther J.
Dory P.
Dory P. Okay, I've got Cheryl, and I'll need your initial, Nancy L., Deborah G., Clee Esther J., and Dory P. Cheryl, please get us started and let me know your initial and where you're calling from.
Thank you so much. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. And thank you, moderator, for your service. Thank you, Denise, for starting us off with your share. I wanted to just take a little different viewpoint on this. Of course, it's about powerlessness. It's about that willpower doesn't work. That I learn in the doctor's opinion about the disease I have. When I hear it today, I also think about how my disease has affected others around me. I've heard these things from others, and I've felt these things from others, this concern, this wanting me to be different. Why? Because it was hurting me and it was hurting them. So, yes, there's a world of ignorance behind these statements. There's a lack of knowledge and understanding of the disease nature and the powerlessness that I have over this addiction. I just want to share that, you know, in my addiction, you know, my physical manifestation, it you could have looked at me and not really thought I had this disease. But when my son was 8 years old and I he knew I was in a program and abstinent, and when I headed for the dessert section somewhere, you know, he ran after me, "Mommy, Mommy, you're abstinent." You know, why? There was something that he knew, that there was something really wrong. And, you know, I remember he was older, maybe 17 or 18, and I said to him one day, "Well, I'm not shooting up heroin." And he said, "Well, Mom, if you could get a cupcake in the needle, you would." And, you know, this just speaks to me about how the insidious nature of this disease is that I refuse the treatment as part of my disease. It's really amazing that what happened in the last year for me in learning about the nature of my disease, because I could then, you know, have some truths revealed to me and be able to make amends to my family. I have a brother now. When I'm in line at somewhere and I have to be extremely careful about my food, he has this great understanding now, and he says, "You know, Cheryl, maybe you're helping somebody behind you in the line who, you know," and so what miracles can happen when I am in the solution, as I've been taught in working these steps and learning about the nature of my disease. I just wanted to take a little different viewpoint on it, and I'm so grateful today. Thank you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. from California. Nancy L., please share with us, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you, Nancy L. in Arizona. I'm not cross-talking, but I something was said that spun a spark in my brain about the people that would say to me once in a while, "Oh, you have such a pretty face," and then they wouldn't finish it, you know, like, okay, so, and you know, Don got good and well, I did, that they were thinking, "Why are you so fat? You have such a pretty face." And, you know, it just struck me that my father had polio as a kid, so he lost his leg when he was around 30. And I would just wonder, would someone say something, "You're such a handsome man, but," you know, and then look at this missing leg, right? No, I don't think people would think like that. But boy, when it comes to obesity, you know, the more shame people put on me, the more shame I took on. And the more shame I took on, the more I ate. What an unlovely picture. What a desperate situation I was in. And I continually thought that it was all up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. And I tried everything under the sun until I quit trying anything. And then it was just about ready. I was about ready to check out, if you know what I mean. But thank God for the 12 steps. Thank God for Bill Wilson. and Bob and all the other people that put this program together for me. They did it for me. And I'm so excited he's doing it for all of us. God is powerful, and I no longer have to lean on me to abstain from my compulsive overeating. I lean on God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Nancy in Arizona.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. And now Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Clea Esther J.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much and for your service today and everyone for their service today and all the shares. Thanks for 12-stepping me today. I just felt the love. And I am so grateful, Deborah G. from Arizona, for this meeting, because I remember I was thinking back where people would say to me, wow, how can you eat so much and stay thin? Or, wow, you must have a high metabolism. And, you know, it got to be like my thinking, because it's my thinking with this disease, that, wow, I can do this. You know, I'm getting attention from them. They think I'm super cool, you know, and I wasn't, you know, I was suffering. I was suffering with all those character challenges, with all that stuff inside of me that I wasn't dealing with and having to shove the food down to deal with it. And I'm just so grateful today that I found a different way, you know, that I found those beautiful 12 steps. And in finding those beautiful 12 steps, going through them, living them, I found that power, you know, because I never thought, see, that was the thing. I never thought about willpower or not willpower or any of that stuff, because I thought I was doing okay and getting all these attaboys for it. So it's like then when I got honest with myself with those steps and saw that I have no power, no power. And I want to, oh, please help me by God's grace every day to remember that I have no power. And I love my life today. I love the way I look at my food today. And I love my inside. I like myself today. I love myself today. I love all of you today. What an amazing experience that could have came out of all that. And I'm glad that all that did happen. So I have what I do today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Clea Esther J., please share with us. And just a reminder for those of you just joining us, we are on page 20, the third paragraph, starting with how many times people have said to us, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only today. So go ahead, Clea Esther, please share with us. Star one, Clea Esther. Okay, perhaps she had to step away. Please, Doris P., will you share with us, please?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Don, and thank you, everyone, for your service and for your shares, and welcome to the newcomers. Doris P., compulsive overeater, very grateful to live in recovery today. And what this paragraph makes me think of is how many times have I thought or said these things to others around me? How many times did I tell my mom, why do you spend the way you spend? It's irresponsible. You don't have those finances. Let me show you how to save. Or how many times did I tell my sister, why don't you try chewing gum instead of killing yourself with cigarettes? Or how many times when I was in the disease and I was, you know, upwards of 250 pounds, and I saw somebody who was probably 300, thought to myself, well, now that is just excessive. So what recovery and these 12 steps and you all in these rooms taught me is compassion and humility. And that gives me a very different perspective today on people around me and how I relate to them and how I show up for others who might be struggling with the same thing that I struggle with, or with other things that I cannot identify into. This also helps me understand that I am a distinct entity, and just the way I cannot identify with somebody who has a different addiction, that's, you know, that tells me that, yeah, you know, my family cannot identify in with what I have, and that is because I am a distinct entity. So that step one is that much more relevant, and I can have a deeper experience. So I'm very grateful for that increased humility and compassion that I can have for my fellows, whether they are in these rooms or just out there struggling with their own addictions. So that's what I had. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Dory P. from Georgia. And now is Cleaster J. back on the line with us? Would you like to share?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Great. Actually, I was driving and I stopped two times to try to make sure I had a good connection. But anyway, I'm very blessed, and thank you all for being a part of this wonderful fellowship and those who are giving service. And I was driving and, you know, listening to a meeting I had listened to a part of the other meeting, but I'm so happy that my sponsor had shared with me about the 10 o'clock meeting because I didn't know about it. But what I want to share today, and it's just kind of like putting the practice, and also for newcomers who are on the line, I've been in program a long time and seen the, I want to say almost the evolution of what's happening in our program, but it always goes back to that basic stuff that is in the big book. And I know that my recovery actually is in the steps. I came in the program to lose weight. I stayed in the program to keep the weight off. But when I left and came back, I came back with a whole new attitude. And that was, even if I was thin, even if I was whatever, I still had all of those addictions of the mind. And so today, I had a thing that happened, which for me, you know, I've been reciting the acceptance prayer today. It's just the way it's supposed to be today. And I've had a controlling nature, and even in a place where I want to help, you know, I can make this happen. And I was at a friend's house, and I usually always clean out their refrigerator. And so today it's like, okay, let's get this thing up that needs to be done. They weren't interested. And then I was like, and then I thought, you know, I can go do this. And I said, you know what? You can do what you can do, and it's okay. This person gets the choice, and you get, guess what? You get 45 minutes of less cleaning this refrigerator. And so it's okay. And there would have been a time where I would have had that battle in my mind. Acceptance is the key to my serenity today. And I've had situations with my sister, I mean, with people that before I really put into place the principles of this program, you know, hands up, thank you, God. And I just know that I'm recovering. I've had really food has not been an issue for me. Not that I've had 100% abstinent, you know, I had a, but anyway, but I know I'm recovering, and I know that for those who are on the line, who are maybe thinking, just keep coming back, just keep coming back, keep working on learning who your higher power is and having a connection. No one can tell you who they are, but they're there, they're real. And with that, I will pass, but I'm just so thankful today that I'm putting into practice the things that they tell you to do in the program. So keep coming back, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Cleaster J. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take a couple more names. And so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 20, the third paragraph, how many times people have said to us?
Jen Z.
Jen Z.
Robin L.
Robin L. Okay, let's go with that. Jen Z, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater from East Los Angeles, California. And I just wanted to share real quick. I heard in this reading about like people would tell me, you know, oh, you have such a pretty face and you just lose the weight, or, you know, have you tried this diet or this program or that program, or, you know, and why don't you just, you know, eat less? And, you know, like people were saying, it's like total misunderstanding of the whole situation. And, you know, it wasn't until I found OA that there was, you know, any kind of solution that worked, you know. And it took me a while to, you know, figure out that this is what I needed to do. But, you know, I started in OA when I was like 14 years old. You know, it's just the unmanageability and the powerlessness, like people are talking about, you know. People, like they said, there he is all lit up again, you know, and there I was back at the food again, you know, looking for a solution, like just insanity, repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And this program has given me a modicum of sanity, you know. My life is not perfect. I'm a work in progress. But, you know, I'm working the steps as best I can right now, and trying to take it a day at a time, sometimes an hour at a time, and try to use the tools of the program. And I'm just really grateful for this meeting. I listen to it every day when I walk, and I do my walk for an hour. And I just appreciate everybody being there. I just wanted to open my mouth, and I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen Z from California. Now, Robin L., would you please share with us?
Good morning. My name is Robin L. from Connecticut, and I am coming back from relapse. And what really strikes me today is the doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is all lit up again. Well, that's the same with this disease for me. My doctors have told me when I've had high blood pressure and high cholesterol that if I didn't lose weight, it would kill me. But somehow I didn't grasp that. You know, what's the big deal? I have X amount of pounds on my body. But I'm old now. I'm 72 years old, and I've had some medical issues. And believe me, high blood pressure and cholesterol and overeating will kill me. And I'm just getting that. I've been in this program for a long time, for 35 years, and I believe I'm just getting it, how powerless I am over food. It, you know, I couldn't understand that in the beginning, and I'm just getting it now. So I hear that it's my time, but I'm just really glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Excuse me, Robin L. You did have some more time left, but thank you so much for your share. We're going to go ahead and open up the lines to take one or two more names of people who would like to share with us this morning who haven't shared in the last 3 days.
Darcy M.
Darcy M. And one more name?
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, Darcy M., please share with us.
Yes. Another one that I always heard was when I was younger, was with, besides a pretty face and you need to lose weight, because, oh, you must be losing weight because you're, as I was especially going into the preteen years, your body's changing shape. You know, as you're maturing, we start getting curves. Oh, you're losing weight because your body's getting curves. So now it's time to lose the weight. And it's like, at that time, I didn't care if I had curves or not. I didn't care if I had upper enhancements or upper body. I didn't care. But yet, everybody kept telling me to lose weight. And but my parents said, lose the weight now. And like, all they ever did was nag on me about this. And nagging on me just did not cut it. And actually, in all actuality, with their nagging, they actually pushed me more towards the compulsive eating. And I know they meant well, but they actually pushed me towards it. So, I mean, it took me a long time to figure out that's what they were doing. But in all actuality, they were doing the best that they could at the time. They didn't know better. This was back in the early 60s. And I can't blame them now. So now I have to do, and I do it with my higher power. And I'm getting closer to it. I still don't care if I have anything upstairs. In fact, I got too much upstairs. But it's, the fact is, I have a higher power that I have now. And he's helping me to at least get stabilized, to help lose some weight. And but he's helping me more to think clearer, at least to make the right choices, and to be happier. And that's something I didn't have as I was growing up. So with that, I'll close, and I'll just say thank you for your service, thank you for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Darcy M. And Deb E., please share with us, and please take like a two-minute share. Morning,
okay,
Deb.
This is Deb E., and I am in northwestern Montana and definitely a compulsive overeater. This paragraph is, as many have said, is a powerful one in terms of all the messages that our families, our friends, our culture have given us, but it comes out of mostly out of their ignorance about what addiction is. And I found that the hardest part of these messages is that after hearing them throughout my life, whether it was in advertisements or self-improvement programs or from family members or friends, they become internalized. And then they become who I think I am. And I think one of the blessings of this recovery program is that in working the steps, I can take these things apart and go, oh, this is not who I am. Yeah, I have an addiction, I have a disease, and there are steps, and there is a higher power, and there is a fellowship that will help me rewrite those messages in my brain, slowly but surely. So I'm very grateful for the program because I know as a teenager, I thought it was all about willpower. Well, I have one of the strongest wills in the world with what I've gone through in my 70 years of living, but it isn't about the food. So I am grateful that there's a program like this. I needed to read this paragraph today to remember that those are not my messages anymore. And with that, I will pass and thank everybody for their service today.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Montana. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.